But that Passy Gate experience was an eye-opener to me because that was when I first realized the parents were telling them they had to treat me differently.
Jimmy Carter is arguably Georgia's most famous resident. He and his wife, Rosalyn, are certainly some of the state's most beloved. But what is it like living in the same community and interacting with the former president, an award-winning humanitarian, and a Nobel Peace Prize recipient? Who better to ask than the residents in President Carter's hometown, the people of Plains?
Born in Plains, where the fields will blow. Oh, so gentle and kind. A farmer, a peanut, with a heart to shine.
So divine.
He carries faith in everything he do. A peacemaker at heart, always tried to see it through. He stood by friends through thick and thin. In the light of hope, there's a journey begin. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, celebrate a good man.
This is Plainspoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains, a joint production between Georgia Public Broadcasting and myself, Andrew Greer. These episodes were created from the master tape recordings in my documentary, Plainspoken, which explores the divides that exist in Jimmy Carter's hometown and now my hometown of Plains, Georgia. While putting together that documentary, there were just too many good Jimmy Carter stories that were going to end up on the cutting room floor. So I am putting some of those stories right here in this podcast. Today's episode is titled Growing Up with Jimmy.
Well, I grew up in a community that was completely segregated. There was no mixing of black and white people as far as social things are concerned. But my mother paid no attention to segregation. She was a registered nurse and practicing her medical profession every day. And so she didn't pay any attention to racial segregation. But the community itself was segregated, and we didn't pay any attention to it. My father, who was much more conservative than my mother, treated black people very kindly and with justice and with dignity. So we had a very harmonious home and got along well with our neighbors, all of whom were black, by the way.
It's well known that Jimmy Carter grew up on a peanut farm. That peanut farm is in a small community called Archery, just outside of Plains, Georgia. In the 1920s and 30s, it was a segregated community, but as you just heard the former president say, he didn't pay attention to that.
It wasn't too many whites in the community. It was a black community.
That was Johnny Davey, a childhood friend of President Carter. We heard briefly from Johnny in the first episode.
Yeah, since you grew up together, what do you call President Carter?
What do I call him? Jimmy. Yeah. Now, if his dad told me to go tell him something, he would say, go tell Mr. Jimmy. All I call when I'm talking to him, he called me John, and I call him Jimmy.
Now tell me, where are we sitting right now?
We're sitting on the front porch of the Carter home house.
Do you remember this place?
Yeah, very well.
What's your favorite memory on this porch?
Oh, on this porch. If you remember, I had to come up here and bag up those pecans. And we had a radio.
All you have to do is ask for Prince Albert.
We had a Wonder right on there. We could go to their Wonder, and they would let us listen to the program. So I remember the old time when we had to call. I just enjoyed growing up in Archer.
After hearing Johnny's description of the community around the farm, let's go back to my conversation with President Carter.
My father, who was much more conservative than my mother, treated black people very kindly and with justice, and with dignity. And so we had a harmonious home, and got along well with our neighbors, all of whom were black, by the way.
Where did you first become an advocate for racial unity? Was that also in your childhood where you learned about living with diversity and in unity with your black brothers and sisters?
Yes, that was what it was. I didn't have any close white friends at that time. My only white friends were at school or church. But I got along well with my neighbors with whom I hunted and fished and worked in the field. And so we were quite harmonious in our relationship with our African-American neighbors. And treated them with, as equals as much as we could in the on the playground and hunting and fishing trips and so things like that. So we were very close to them and treated them with, just common decency and respect.
President Carter says he treated people with common decency and respect. It really is simple, isn't it?
I grew up with an African-American woman who stayed with us all the time.
This is Kim Carter Fuller. She is President Carter's niece, the daughter of President Carter's infamous brother, Billy Carter, and one of my dearest friends.
Stayed with us all the time, and when she passed away, among her 14 children, the six of us were listed as her children also. You know, and that was just, it was supposed to be. You know, when she was about to pass away, her family called us and said, "You need to get here so Mama can see you." And we did, you know, and called the brothers and sisters who were not here so she could tell them goodbye. I mean, you know, and that's just the way it was in my family. So growing up, I was just kind of, okay. You know, I had to hear my friends talking and hear their parents talking. I was going, I'm so thankful that my mom and daddy aren't like that. And they weren't. But you're right, all around us it was happening, all around us.
Kim speaks to the values instilled in the Carter family many, many years ago. The Carters love people, all people. Miss Carroll from Maranatha Baptist Church has also seen these Carter family values firsthand.
You grew up with Jimmy and Rosalie.
Well, I've been so much. My brother was in the class with Jimmy's sister Ruth, who passed away a number of years ago. And then I was more of the age that of Rosalind's sister, Aletheia. I'm a little older than she is. But we just, in a small town like this, you just grow up together. And I just, you know, but I didn't have a close relationship with Jim and Rosalind, but she had a brother named Murray. And he was a little older. He taught school here. So I just came up knowing him, and my late husband worked for Carter's Warehouse. In fact, he was working there when he passed away suddenly. And Jimmy came, he was governor of Georgia, but he's just that kind of person, you know. He's just compassionate. He's just meant a lot to our little town, our little town.
Carol Anderson's story helps to demonstrate the love President Carter has for people, even his casual acquaintances. Let's go back to Johnny Davey. He and I are talking on the porch of President Jimmy Carter's boyhood home in Archery, Georgia.
You said Archery was predominantly a black community.
Yeah.
And the Carter family, so they were a bit unusual in that they were a white family here. And President Carter was one of your close friends.
Right.
Did you ever feel, or did you ever think that it was strange that your friend didn't look like you?
Oh, no, we always had this battle. When we were playing together, of course we could work together. Mm-hmm. We couldn't go to school together. That was one of the things. The white and the black didn't go to school together, but we could be on the farm together because we was here known together. His dad and my dad all got to know one another.
Can't you hear it in Johnny's story that when they were boys, he and Jimmy were great friends, but they didn't live in a bubble. President Carter remembers when his friends started to treat him differently.
Can you briefly recount the time where you and your friend, you wrote a poem about it, about the gate, and where you first realized there was a difference between you and your black friend?
Well, that was the time I was coming out of a pasture and coming through the gate into the barn. And I was about 14 years old, I guess, and some of my friends. And they stepped back and let me go first. I thought it was a trick or something that I would trip on a tripwire and fall on my face. But much later, I realized looking back on that, that their parents had probably told them that we had reached an age where we had to separate, you know, socially as well as racially. So that was my first experience with being treated as a superior just because I was white. And I didn't like it much, but after that, we were a little bit more cautious, perhaps. At least my black friends were. But that Passy Gate experience was an eye-opener to me because that was when I first realized, looking back on it, that the parents were telling them they had to treat me differently because I was white.
President Carter did not end his friendships, even though it seems that is what the world would have wanted him to do at that time. In fact, President Carter and Johnny remained friends into their old age.
6 years ago. Oh, to your 90th birthday party?
He's 93, so 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'll be 94 in December.
So your daughter just saying the last time that you came, that you saw him was at your birthday, your 90th birthday.
Yeah, President called at my 90th birthday party. At least they surprised me with it. I didn't know he was going to be there.
Yeah.
Do you think y'all's friendship, your close friendship growing up as boys, do you think that opened you up to being more accepting and inviting of different races and all that, even though the world around was often tense about that?
I imagine we accepted, I guess. I don't see it didn't make any difference. Oh, we could work together, we could play together, and we could farm. We got there working together, and I'd say I'll be plowing. I had to ply the mule, and he would be in front of me with the soda and the peas and all, be dropping in the work. And we always, me and him was in the field together a lot. We just had close connection, and he just enjoyed it, didn't make it. And he didn't try to turn away from it. Now we always speak to one another whenever we see it.
I've heard that President Carter was the only one who could run faster than you.
Yeah, he was one that we were running. He could just run fast. But we would have a race every once in a while.
At your 90th birthday party, did y'all try to race?
Oh.
I will tell you that is wrong. I got that wrong.
Oh.
Jimmy
did not beat you.
Did not beat Johnny. Johnny
was the only one who could beat Jimmy.
Is that right, sir?
Let's get this real clear for the record. So you state it real clear while this audio is on.
Make sure you win.
Say, I am the only one who could beat Jimmy at running.
I was the only one out running. Yeah, I could run. I could outrun Jimmy. Hey, we had fun. We used to have fun on that.
Thanks for listening to Plainspoken, Jimmy Carter and the People of Plains. In the next episode, we'll explore President Carter's faith.
My religious faith is very important to me, and I would just like for the teachings of Jesus Christ to be implemented in the whole world.
The documentary Plainspoken is available on demand at gpb.org.
spite of his smile, found the courage to withstand. He brought us peace, made the world understand. Every prayer his heart was true, an honest friend just like me and you. Christian faith as his guiding star, he brought us together from near and far. Raise a hand, raise a hand, celebrate a good man. Raise a hand, raise a hand, celebrate a good man. With humble heart he took a stand, led with love across this land. The strength of a friend, a gentle guide, in unity and peace.